Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Tuesday, August the 18th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. We're going to start with South East Water, who've apologised to thousands of customers in Kent who've been experiencing problems with their water supply. Bosses say they've managed to get taps running again in more than 7,000 properties across the county after issues first started on Saturday. But hundreds of homes in the Benenden area are still experiencing disruption, and there's a warning supplies could be intermittent in Herne Bay later today. Now, it's certainly not the first time that there's been disruption to supplies during this very long, dry summer. And we've also been told that some water staff are now experiencing abuse as they try to fix problems. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Mike Pickard, and he's an incident support manager for South East Water.
The ultimate cause has been a number of issues. The increase in heat wave that we've seen has driven demand through the roof. So the water has been going out the taps quicker than we can actually get it back into supply. We've also seen quite a few bursts in the areas. Again, coupled by the really dry weather and the increase in demand, along with some power outages in some of our areas. So coupling together, we have seen quite a dramatic pressure increase in demand. Particularly in the Kent over the last week.
What's the kind of advice for customers, you know, not necessarily people who have been experiencing disruption, but just all South East Water customers in general? What should they be doing over the next few days and weeks?
Well, it's our ongoing message throughout the summer is to please use water wisely. We know our customers are frustrated and we fully understand why they're frustrated. We should not be where we are. But it's a situation that we have to get through, and it's going to take some time. We're asking our customers to also be kind. That frustration we have seen boil over. Unfortunately, we have seen an increase in reports of our teams being subjected to verbal and physical abuse, which is unacceptable. Our teams are out there to help. And unfortunately, when they are subjected to the frustrations of our customers, it does hamper, it could potentially stall our ability to continue with the works. So we just ask our customers just to be kind, please. Our teams are there to help.
That's awful, the verbal and physical abuse. Is that, are you able to go into any more detail in that? Where's that happening?
I wouldn't like to go into too many details on locations. It's pretty much all around our regions, and it is down to frustration. We do understand that. We do understand our customers do not deserve what's going on. And we're doing everything in our power to try and help along the way. But our teams out there are doing a job. They're just like you and I. They've got to provide their family and their loved ones with food on table, roof over their heads. They're doing a job to help and support. Our teams are committed. They love and very passionate about the water industry and the work that they do. And to be subjected to abuse is challenging for them. It's disheartening. And we just ask, like I say, customers just to be mindful of the people behind the uniform. They're there to help.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going forward, looking ahead to future summers, if we get heat waves like this again, is that investment going to sort of strengthen the network and make sure maybe it can cope better with the high demand? You know, if people want to fill up their paddling pools and stuff, they should really be able to.
That's where we need to get to. We are investing heavily. We've got over $2 billion in our infrastructure that we are investing. But it's going to take time. Unfortunately, these type of works are the big scale. They're engineering projects, they're building new reservoirs, new treatment works. It's schemes like that unfortunately do not happen overnight. They do take time, but we will get there. Like I say, we're investing heavily, and we just need to be patient, do our best where we can. And at the moment, we are targeting the critical areas with the long-term plans in the background, sort of tinkering away getting us to where we need to be.
A government spokesperson has said today that the situation's simply not good enough. Meantime, South East Water say investigations are underway following complaints about a persistent water leak at a house in Ashford. Iris Knight, who you can see on Kent Online today, claims she's had issues at her property in Leveland Close for almost a year now, and payments jumped from £11 a month to £40 just before Christmas. Well, bosses have told us a leak was repaired last month, but they're aware of further issues and are in contact with the customer.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. We've got some crime news next, and a teenager's in a stable condition in hospital following a stabbing in Rochester. Police were called to the High Street in the early hours of Saturday, and a knife was found in nearby Star Hill. Three men arrested in Maidstone have been released on bail. A Chatham mum who lied about being attacked, which led to an innocent neighbour being arrested, has avoided a prison sentence. Selina Begum was initially treated as a victim following reports of a fight outside her home on Castle Road in August 2022. The 47-year-old later admitted perverting the course of justice and was given a suspended jail term. She's also been ordered to do 200 hours of unpaid work. Police have released a picture of a man they want to question following reports of a person performing a lewd act on a train in Kent. They reportedly exposed themselves on a service at Swanscombe Station earlier this month and pointed at a woman on the opposite platform. We've shared the image via our socials. A sex offender from Gillingham has been jailed after police found an indecent image on a secret device at his home. Jack Stevens was placed on a court order last year which restricted his internet use. Well, officers searched his home on Grange Road in January and found a Samsung tablet which had been wrapped in a curtain and hidden under a bed. The 23-year-old's been locked up for 3 years and 2 months. And a teenager who crashed a car into a busy pub in Broadstairs is due to go on trial in October. Frank Finn has admitted dangerous driving after hitting the Dolphin Inn back in April, but the 18-year-old denies the more serious charge of damaging property with intent to endanger life. Now, a campaign group has welcomed news that Virgin Trains are a step closer to running services from London to mainland Europe. The operator's been given permission to use the Channel Tunnel from 2030. It's hoped it'll lead to services to Paris, Brussels and Amsterdam, stopping at Ashford and Ebbsfleet again. Well, I've been getting reaction from Dickon Spain, who's from Bring Back Euro Trains.
It's a very positive next step on the journey towards getting services back to Ashford and Ebbsfleet in Kent. So it's great news, and it shows progress is being made. There's obviously lots of things to be done between now and the point where we can actually jump on a train and hopefully whisk ourselves off to Paris or somewhere equally nice for a croissant or something. So lots to be done between now and then, but it's a really good bit of news. Yes.
Yeah, there are, as you say, lots of hoops still to jump through, but they're hoping to run trains by 2030, which, of course, by that time, it would have been 10 years, wouldn't it, since Eurostar stopped at Ebbsfleet and Ashford International. I mean, how much of an impact over that decade-long amount of time would it have had on Ashford in particular, for example? Because I know there's been a real campaign in that area to get trains stopping again.
Absolutely. Well, it's held the economy back and the local prosperity of Ashford and the wider region. Actually, the impact goes way beyond Ashford, and if you include Ebbsfleet, you're talking about impacts all the way to Essex, southeast London, the whole of Kent, of course, and then down into parts of East Sussex as well, with people not being able to get that convenient transport over to the continent, and also obviously the other way around, inbound people trying to get in as tourists into the country to and who would spend a lot of money actually. Kent, even without that link, has been outperforming in terms of the growth of tourism and indeed the spend of tourists into Kent. But with that link back, it'll make an absolutely huge difference. Good growth foundations predicting £2.7 billion over 5 years. That's over half a billion pounds of extra spending each year into the regional economy. So, yeah, it will make a huge difference to get that back.
Having just travelled by train over to Europe, I must admit, it is incredibly frustrating when you have to go all the way up into London, stay overnight to get an early train, only to literally go past two stations that you could have driven to quite easily to get on a train. I mean, I'm sure you feel the frustration immensely.
Well, absolutely. And there's so many people. I mean, you can't really have a conversation where you mention that without people expressing that huge frustration of not having that service available that would allow them to make those easy journeys. So a lot of people will not be traveling at all on those kind of journeys. Some people will, of course, shift to other modes, so they might be catching a plane, but perhaps more commonly, people might be taking a car abroad, and go via the Channel Tunnel, or one of the ferries. So we know there's huge pent-up demand for this, and that's actually why at the moment our focus in Bring Back Eurotrains has shifted from the petition that we had going, where we got over 80,000 people sign that, to actually a demand survey. So that's currently what we're up to. We've got over 11,000 people have actually said to us where they'd like to travel from, so either Ashford or Ebbsfleet, and where they'd like to go to. So we've got a range of stations that would be practical to reach from those stations across Europe. And it's very interesting to see where people want to go to and the volumes of people. So that's what we're trying to prove, the demand that's there, but isn't being met at the moment.
Kent Online reports.
A Maidstone bakery has been given a one-star hygiene rating after inspectors found unwrapped cheese and black mould in a fridge. An environmental health team visited Banichanista Utro on Gabriel's Hill in May and discovered contamination risks and poor cleaning. Bosses say they fixed all of the issues raised. A hedgehog has been taken in by a Kent charity after being covered in toxic glittery slime that's believed to have come from a discarded toy. She was barely able to move when she was found by a member of the public and taken to Dottie's Little Hog Hospital in Herne Bay. She had to have multiple baths and is now recovering. Staff have named her Sparkle. Figures out today show another drop in unemployment in Kent. 40,755 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in June. That's down by 145 compared to the previous month. A school in Sittingbourne for children with additional needs is hoping to increase the number of pupils it can take. ALP on Bell Road says it needs to boost capacity to meet local demand. It's currently limited to 40 pupils aged between 7 and 19, but hopes to up that to 52. Next on today's episode, and people living in a block of flats say they've been unable to open their windows during the long hot summer because of a smell coming from uncollected rubbish. Residents and neighbours of Weavers Court in Rochester have had repeated issues with the collection over the years, and it's been a problem for the past 12 weeks. Now, the property is managed by Orbit Housing Group, but they say it's Medway Council's responsibility to clear the communal bins. Well, Local Democracy reporter Ollie Leader has been speaking to people who live there.
It's been as tall as me at some points. They keep sending out a private company just to clear the excess, but the bins are contaminated, so it's a problem that's never going to end really at the moment.
How do you feel living above?
Oh, very nice smelling. Flies goes around my flat. Yes, it's terrible.
How long has it been like this?
More than 10 weeks.
More than 10 weeks. How does it kind of impact you living in your flat? You're right above the stink.
Well, it's very bad. Bad for my health, bad for breathing. I have asthma, for example. You know, I have asthma. Our neighbors have the kids. So how kids, they cannot open window. It's very bad.
You may not live in the block, but you're suffering from the consequences, aren't you?
Absolutely. It's really unhygienic. And we walk our dogs out of the complex and there is rubbish strewn all over the place. But the smell really worries me because there are children living in this block and it's got to be unhygienic. It's got to be, to me, a real hazard.
Well, Medway Council say they are aware of the issues, but there's been an issue with the communal bins being used for fly tipping and bulky waste, which the housing group should arrange to be cleared. Orbit say they have arranged for waste collections in recent days and will carry out a deep clean of that bin storage area. They've also told us they'll take action to make sure the communal bin space is used in the correct way to try and reduce the risk of further disruption.
Kent Online reports.
100-year-old garages in Woolmer that were going to be demolished to make way for flats have been saved. The buildings on Station Road were initially built from recycled air raid shelters following the First World War. They've now been turned into a service station offering car washes, a coffee shop, hairdressers and plant stall. Another sauna is going to be built on a beach in Kent after plans were approved. Sea Scrub Sauna already has facilities in Whitstable, Faversham, Folkestone and Margate. They've now been given permission permission to open at Woolmer near Deal after more than 300 residents told authority bosses they supported the idea. A famously wonky building in Kent has been put up for sale. The Crooked House on Palace Street in Canterbury is one of the most photographed in the city. It's on the market for £650,000 and is currently home to a second-hand bookshop. And if you head to Kent Online today, you can see pictures from a Tunbridge Wells woman who's just returned from a solo month-long trip to Alaska. While we've been experiencing several heat waves, Siobhan Daniels faced temperatures of minus 15 as she travelled through Canada in a motorhome. She set off from Vancouver at the start of April and kept a diary during her travels, which is now turned into a book due to be launched next month. She also shared a video from Alaska reflecting on her experience.
I really enjoyed it. Had good days, bad days. I've cried lots of tears. I've been frightened. But I've also seen some incredible sights. The glaciers almost within touching distance. The snow-capped mountains, the frozen lakes, the frozen rivers. It's just been the most incredible experience of my life. I wanted this to happen. I've made it happen. And it's made me a different woman. I'm 66, nearly 67. And the whole point of doing this is to say to women out there who have lost themselves after the children have grown up or struggled in the workplace or the menopause or various reasons, and they just want to repurpose their life and they want to live rather than just existing. Well, don't listen to those self-limiting voices. This is why I've done this, to show you that you can do it. I was scared. I've been frightened and I doubted myself. And I just kept saying in my head and out loud as I drove along, you can do this, Siobhan. You can do this. And I've done it.
Kent Online Sports.
Starting off with cricket, and former Kent player Jordan Cox says he's hoping to do well for England after being named in the side for the first test against Pakistan. The 25-year-old, who was born in Margate, has been told he'll bat at number three and has been speaking to the media ahead of the game.
Northie called me and was just saying, just before one of the 100 games, he was like, I'm going to give you clarity. You're going to bat three for the two test matches. Basically, go out there, have fun, do what you've been doing, don't change the way you've been playing county cricket. Go and have fun, go and embrace the challenge and have fun. So that's what I'm looking to do. I don't think I've ever batted three before, but I've opened for probably 2 years in county cricket for Kent. So look, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Making your debut for England in any format is amazing for you personally, but also for your family. So I think it will be, you know, that day felt more for me personally about them. Like, this is what, you know, your mum and dad have worked so hard, you know, taking you to games, taking you every Saturday, every Sunday to games. So like, that was like giving back to them basically. So it'll be nice for this test match where I don't think they're even coming. It's like they'll just watch it on TV and just any other like 100 games. So it'll be nice to hopefully really, I don't know how to put it, but really like think about it myself and really work hard to achieving something which I want to achieve, which is, you know, winning test matches for England.
The match gets underway at Headingley tomorrow. And in ice hockey, a former Invicta Dynamos player has returned to the club as assistant coach. Elliot Andrews played 370 games and will join forces with Carl Lennon for the new season. The Mos will warm up for the new campaign with games against Solihull Barons over the August bank holiday weekend. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.